Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I'm lead pastor here at South Granville Church. With me, as always, my friend and co-host, Ben Netz.
Hey, everybody.
Unfortunately, we were going to have a special guest today, but he got called into work. So our friend Barry Schmipping will not be with us, but we'll hopefully have him on in January.
Sorry, Barry.
Ben, it's Thanksgiving week, and it's also the last podcast of the year. So as you're thinking about the holidays, first of all, what are you looking forward to this week when it comes to Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving turkey.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a, are you doing the turkey?
No, I'm not. My in-laws will be doing the turkey, which they do a great job.
Okay.
But there's one dish that we always bring that nobody appreciates more than me. Maybe Ed does too. Sweet potatoes.
What do you guys do with sweet potatoes? How do you make them?
All right. Well, you've got to bake them for a while and then mash them, right? And then goes on the brown sugar and then goes on a huge layer of the mini marshmallows.
Oh, nice.
And then you kind of broil that. And so they get all toasty.
Nice.
Maybe you'll throw in some pecans in there.
I could be into that.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah. I love sweet potatoes. That sounds awesome.
So what's the difference between sweet potatoes and yams? Do you know?
There is no difference, is there?
I think yams might be a little bit bigger.
It's like a different root?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought they were the same thing.
Could be. Okay. Write in and let us know. Yeah. What's the difference? Yeah. We don't know.
Right, right.
They're both orange.
Yeah. We are smoking a turkey, which will be the second time that we've done that. My dad has an electric smoker, so he'll be outside at like 6 in the morning on Thursday, and it takes 8 to 10 hours or so to do that. But it's really awesome.
Yeah.
It's really good. So we're hoping to make that a tradition going forward because it's been really good.
You ever deep fried a turkey?
We have.
That's amazing too.
Actually, yeah. So one time we did that and you can inject them with seasoning. I don't know if you ever did that.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we used this like Cajun stuff, you know, and it looks like a big syringe.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know what we did wrong, but we put all of it like kind of really close to the surface of the skin in this one spot. So like half of the turkey was basically inedible because it was like so much pepper and spice and stuff.
Was the other side totally dry?
Yeah. And in my memory, we threw a lot of it away. Oh, that's what I remember.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I want to deep fry a turducken.
Yes.
That would be the ultimate. Yes.
This is why we're friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then with the leftover frying oil, Twinkies.
That's okay. That's too far for me. So this week, we're finishing our series in Acts, and we read through part of chapter 15. Which kind of continues the themes that we were looking at last week. The church is struggling to enfold Gentile believers from other cultures and backgrounds, and they're trying to figure out, okay, what do we do with these people and what do we expect of them? Because up until this point, the church has largely been made of Jewish converts who were still observing a lot of the Old Testament law. So now they're trying to decide, okay, do these Gentiles need to be circumcised? Do they need to adopt all of the law and the dietary restrictions and all those things that, again, we talked about last week? Or is this going to look different for them? So there's this whole series of speeches. As Ben said, it's kind of the all-star team from Acts kind of stands up, and one by one, they proclaim the gospel very clearly. And try to encourage the believers to understand that it's not their place to impose too many rules or restrictions on the Gentiles, and that salvation is not going to be dependent on works or what they do. It's dependent on faith in Jesus. So at the end, James is giving this speech, and he kind of lays out four suggestions for the Gentiles. He says, okay, we don't have to ask them to adopt the entire law, but we do want them to abstain from things associated with idols and sacrifices, and then also sexual immorality. It may be that all of those things are related to kind of cultic rituals in temples and other places. It may also be that the Gentiles grew up in cultures where there was very different expectations around sex outside of marriage. And so he's just reminding them about God's design. But overall, the idea here is that they are free to kind of follow their conscience as long as it doesn't upset or offend the consciences of the Jewish believers as well. So the Jews were very sensitive about idols and idol worship, which is why James is asking them to stay away from anything that's associated with those idols, because he wants them to be able to come together in community, to share meals together, and to have harmony rather than a bunch of conflict and awkwardness between them. So Ben, this passage is really concerned with the idea of unity in the church and having these groups of people from different backgrounds and experiences to form one cohesive body. And as you think about it, why do you think that matters so much? Because this has come up at other times in Acts as well. But why do you think God cares about how unified we are as a church or how well we get along with each other?
So unity in this case of the very early church is really similar to how important unity is today. The church has always changed and will continue to change with different demographics of different people. In this case, it was Judaism and now also Gentiles, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of changes happening. And for a long time, the Jews have done things a very ritualistic way. What did you mention? The two different types of law?
Yeah. So on Sunday, we talked about a distinction between what's called the moral law, which are the rules from the Old Testament that continue to be binding for us as Christians. So, you know, the Ten Commandments, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, versus what theologians call the ceremonial law, which are rules and laws that were part of the Jewish tradition, or in some cases, even Old Testament scripture. But their purpose was really to set Israel apart from the other nations. And now for these Christians coming from different backgrounds, they're no longer binding. So the example we used, as we did last week, was about eating bacon and saying, if you're a Gentile and you've grown up eating it, they're not going to impose this expectation to be Jewish and now never have it again. But you can continue to eat it because that's a ceremonial kind of law.
And from a Gentile's point of view, they may have been concerned with, well, what's the message we're supposed to be hearing? Because at one point, we hear about all these rules we need to follow. And then another point, we're hearing that salvation is Christ and it's not dependent on our works. So having that unity to assure that the new people get what the real message is, I think would have been really important.
No, that's a great point that, you know, this whole speech or speeches, I guess, in this chapter are all about remembering the true gospel, remembering that you're saved by faith alone. And Peter says, you know, why are we putting this burden of the law on them when God has accepted them? He's purified their hearts through faith, not through action, but through faith. And then he says, look, we're all being saved the same way by grace through faith in Jesus. And so if you're communicating something to these new people, that's going to be confusing, you know, to say, well, yeah, that's all true, but also you have to be circumcised or you can't wear a shirt that has mixed fibers or something. That would be, I think, feel very strange to a Gentile coming into this community. So Ben, I'm also curious about how this passage is speaking to us as Americans in 2019, because our culture is pretty individualistic. You know, God is calling the church to be unified, to really think of themselves more like a family where they're giving and respecting each other's consciences. But I think oftentimes we think of ourselves as individuals who just happen to be in the same place, you know, like it's a concert or something. We came in, we sat through it, and then we went home. Do you see examples of that, you know, in our own congregation or just in church experiences that you've had? And what do you see this passage saying to us in an individualistic culture like ours?
Yeah. You know, I kind of used to be that guy that would just come to church, do my hour, listen to my sermon, and go home. Hmm. And that was the end of it. And to me, sure, I would get things out of the service, and that was church. And it sort of felt like this, in a way, a ritualistic thing that I would just have to do, you know, in order to be a good Christian, you'd go to church.
Yeah. You check the box. You did your duty. You
know? Right. It really wasn't until I got involved in doing things. We started kind of a men's Bible study a few years back that was good. And I enjoyed getting to know some more people in church. So that became more like family, because now after church, you've got someone else to talk to. And then one thing kind of led to another. I started playing the drums, started getting involved in cadets, and then worship committee, and now worship coordinator. And the more that I put myself into church, the more I got back. And I think that may be one of these things that God's teaching us too, is that when you get involved, you receive so much more back from it than you actually give in.
Well, that's a great point. And I think the pushback or the perspective that other people might bring is that requires so much more, you know. And frankly, for us at South Granville, our church is roughly 150-ish people, you know, so big enough that you don't feel like there's a microscope on you when you walk in the door, but small enough that people notice and that people know each other. And there is an appeal, I think, in our culture to being in a giant church where you can sit in the back, kind of absorb a worship service and move on, and nobody really knows. But what you're saying is, you know, when you invest yourself and you get involved, there's reward from that, even though it also costs more, or it mm-hmm. takes more from you in a way, because it is like having a family where sure. you have to respect each other and work through stuff and deal with conflict and all that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying everybody has to do everything that I do, but I would challenge other people that if you thought about, you know, being part of a Bible study or a small group, to just give it a shot. And at least you can say you've tried it, but I really feel like being more involved together as a church is really the key to being a good community. It isn't about coming in, sitting down, do your hour, and then check out. It's more about that. It's more about fellowship.
Yeah, no, that's really true. I'm thinking about 1 John 4, when he says that, you know, no one has ever seen God, but by the way that we love one another, we see and experience God's presence. And again, you have to invest and be part of that community in a very real way. But the benefit or the promise in that is that God will be present in our relationships with each other, because that's how he's wired us to really experience him in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So this is switching gears a little bit, but before we started, we were talking about James's suggestions for new people. You know, he's talking to Gentiles, first time in church, following Jesus, and he's kind of giving them some introductory guidelines. And we were saying, what's the equivalent for people today if somebody's new with us, or maybe they've been listening, but they attend another church, and they're saying, I want to give this a shot. I'm curious. You and I were just talking about, like, what would we say to that person if you had a friend who wanted to start following Jesus or join the church, and say, where do you start? Is it about adding things to your life? Is it about taking things away? What would be your decree, you know, if you said, here's four suggestions or however many suggestions for you as a new person?
Yeah, I think the more important thing to get at first would be a relationship with this person or people. It could be more than one. And once there's enough trust built up there, I think people may get some curious questions coming your way, like, you know, why are you this way? Or, so you go to church. What is that all about? And I think the main thing to first convey to people, like to say, you've probably heard we have rules and all these things we can and can't do, and you can't ride your bike on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. But to just make sure that they understand that that's not the main point of church. In fact, I'll ride my bike on Sunday if I want to.
You rebel.
Yeah. But to understand that this is a gift from Jesus, that accepting it and that you are saved because of your faith.
Yeah. So like saying you start with the very, very core gospel mm-hmm. and making sure somebody understands that, they're not saved by what they do.
Right.
Or, yeah, checking off all these boxes, but they're saved by grace through faith. And do you really understand that? Because even for people who have been in church a long time, a lot of them, I think, struggle to understand that or struggle to live like it's true, even if we know that intellectually.
I think even some people struggle with simple things like forgiveness. If they had wronged you and you simply forgive them because of your love for them, that's a hard thing to consider.
Yeah, that's true too.
And so feeling like, so I've done all these things my whole life, and according to the Bible, I shouldn't have been doing them. How is it that Jesus can just love me enough to say that doesn't matter anymore?
Right. Especially when every other aspect of your life is about merit are earning it, right? Like you don't get to buy a house unless you have good credit. You don't get to pass the class unless you get good grades. You don't get to pay your bills unless you do the work to earn your paycheck. So then you come to faith and all of a sudden the whole script gets flipped around. Yeah, it's not surprising that that's hard to really absorb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may take more than just a quick prayer. It might take weeks to fully get your brain around.
So I think that's a really good answer. But then if I pushed you and I said, okay, but give me one or two very practical things. Somebody has shown up at church a couple times. They're like, this is great, but I have no idea what I'm doing. What are you encouraging them to do? Or is there anything you're encouraging them to say, boy, whatever else you do, you got to stop doing that?
I would say that it's okay to pray. I think it's fine to pray in your own way as your own person, to open up that dialogue with God and see what happens.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect.
No.
Or especially polished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good. And I think that's something people need to hear, because you might have this image of prayer as something that has to happen when you're all cleaned up and buttoned up and, you know.
Or only at church.
When it's in order. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing is just getting to know scripture, you know, and if somebody has very, very little background or experience, I think it's great to start in the New Testament and just read through the Gospels, read what Jesus is teaching, see how he's living, and that will probably stir up plenty of things to work through, both in terms of, mm-hmm. wait, this is what I should be doing in my life, and also, yeah, it's time to stop doing this in my life too. Because I think if you just open the Bible at page one and started reading in Genesis, obviously, we're actually doing Genesis in January. It's a great book, but that would be confusing, I think, for some people, or especially as you went on. I think, yeah, that's a lot to try to absorb if you have no background whatsoever.
Yeah. By the time you get to Leviticus, you might be a little burnt out.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So we are on episode 9, which finishes this whole thing we've been talking about here, reading the book of Acts. And our theme has been a light in the dark. What are some big takeaways we can get from these 9 episodes?
I think a big one for me personally, reading through these passages and writing the sermons, has just been remembering how important it is to pray for people. So a number of people, friends and family members who don't know Jesus or maybe used to be part of the church and haven't been for a long time. And I feel like I go through seasons where I'm really good about praying for them, and then it just is kind of totally off my radar. So this fall has been really good for me personally, just remembering to pray and pray consistently, and also to be praying for opportunities for us as a family to have conversations, to, you know, point people to Jesus by stuff we say and stuff that we do. And feels like God has in small ways given us some of those opportunities just through this fall. So that's something that I hope to continue and keep in mind as we move on to other topics. How about you? Is there, you know, 6 months from now, what do you think you'll remember or still be thinking about?
For me, it's more of a time to reflect on how blessed we are already as a family, but more as a church family, to know how God is moving and shaping our church going forward. You know, we just came from a long-term pastor and then through a time of transition, and now we're in some ways sort of rebuilding or going in a little bit different direction. And just like the early church had to be open to changes but stay unified together as a community, that's what I'm going to be hopeful for 6 months and probably look back on and say, yeah, this was a good foundation to start with.
Yeah, that's cool. And I think that's true. There's a lot of parallels there to say we're learning a new way as a church, and that's messy, and it comes in stops and starts. But we love South Granville. We're so encouraged and so excited about what we see God doing already, and excited to see what happens in the future.
Like more podcasts.
That's right. But maybe not for a couple weeks.
All right. We're going to take a break here through the season of Advent, through Christmas, and we'll be ready to go with some new stuff in January.
Yeah, we'll be back in January. So I know I just said, if you're a new Christian, start in the New Testament. But actually, in January, we're going to read through the book of Genesis and then part of Exodus as well. And really, next year as a church, our theme is going to kind of be Christianity 101. So we will look at some of Jesus's teachings as well. But we're kind of coming back to the very beginnings, to the foundation of the story, looking at some of those core things that we need to understand as part of our faith. And also, how do we get beyond just knowing stuff in our heads, and how do we actually start really living the way Jesus is calling us to live? So this is a really good time. If you're looking for a church, this is a really good time to come in and join us. It's a really good time to be inviting people to come and join us, because we're hoping next year can be a great kind of foundation, both for anybody who's new, but then also a refresher, you know, for people like you and I who have been around for a while. It's really good to come back to that core stuff from time to time.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the 4130 show, you already know how to find us. It's our church address, 4130 Wilson Avenue, Grandeville, Michigan. Please stop by and see us on a Sunday morning. Services are at 10 a.m. If you'd like to find out more about us, are we done yet? Or am I just cutting right to the end?
No, you're good. Yeah, you're good.
Wow. That goes fast.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, if you want to find out more about us, you can get over to our website, southgrandvillechurch.org. There's lots of things on there and lots of contact information, too, if you'd like to talk to me or Pastor AJ.
Yeah, that's it for us. We wish you all a happy Thanksgiving, a wonderful Advent and Christmas, and we will see you in January.
Adios. One thing that Barry Schmipping said to us, or said to me, is that, oh, you got to keep it light. Keep the humor going. Mm-hmm. That's good. So, whatever Barry wants, Barry gets.
That's right.